You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside James, my name is Ryan. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. As James hacks up a lung because he's not feeling good, nonetheless, he's here. The Stars win by a final score of 4-2 tonight over Sidney Crosby's Pittsburgh Penguins. James, how are you doing tonight other than feeling a little congested?
Yeah, so I was feeling sick on Tuesday night's episode. That got very much worse as the day went on and into Wednesday. But I'm feeling a lot better today, just congestion stuff now. So that's a lot better than I was. But, you know, we got a game here tonight, and it was a fun one.
Absolutely. And this, again, it's against a inferior opponent than the Stars. But you know what? They take care of business. And there is a lot of huge things to talk about with this game tonight, James. It makes me really excited that maybe they might be getting their act together here with the addition of Sagan coming back to the lineup. But the one I really want to talk about tonight, James, is Jake Oettinger. That's the first time we've seen a giant save like that from him in quite a while. And I understand before he got pulled in that game against Florida, he had that glove save, but it felt very different. That particular save was a defining moment in the game, and he inserted himself into this game tonight and was a very big difference maker in order for the Stars to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a for sure goal. Like we're talking about, sometimes the defense breaks down. And it broke down pretty big there. Miscue from Foxa getting back, he's supposed to be that second defenseman, but he messes up. He doesn't realize it. They get a 2-on-1 break, and the pass gets across. I mean, it's worst case scenario for 2-on-1 as well. And Otter just finds a way to steal one back for us, and that has not happened in a very, very long time. It feels like those ones are always in the back of the net every single time. And that was a breath of fresh air, to say the least, from Otter.
That's a perfect analogy, James. A breath of fresh air. The other thing I noticed about him tonight is the first goal wasn't great. And I don't blame him on that, but he only lets in one bad goal, I would say. The second goal, he probably doesn't expect that to happen either. And it was a little bit of a lucky bounce for Pittsburgh there. But yeah. Again, if he's going to make saves like that, then like he did against, I think it was Raquel, then I'm okay with goals that sometimes might pop up on him every once in a while. And the other thing is, he didn't allow 3 tonight either. He only allowed 2. And that's another giant number for Jake Oettinger to get tonight.
That's 2 games in a row now as well. He's only let in 2 in 2 games now. And it really, really the 2 goals that got in tonight where defensemen got caught on the boards and a forward didn't cover in front. And that both the goals happened that way. So you can't really put too much of that on the goaltender as much as someone's got to cover the person in front when both defensemen try to make a play on the boards.
The other thing that felt different about Oettinger, and again, it's just an eye test, James. And maybe it's just from my experience and watching so much hockey the last, you know, 3.5 seasons that we've done this, but he looked way more confident tonight than he even in the last game, even though he had, you know, chances and some good moments in the game against Arizona. He looked way more confident tonight, way more comfortable in his spot in the crease.
Yeah, and I said that on the Discord too. Early in the game, after he let up the first one, I said, I think Otter's going to show up tonight. And to his credit, he really did. I mean, it was for how much of a low shot game this is, where he's gotten caught a lot of times on this, on these games where he lets in a ton. And he only let in two tonight, and both of them were from, like, perfect chances for the Penguins.
And again, the other thing about this, and I sort of kind of mentioned it, it was he inserted himself into the game when the Stars needed it. Like, we weren't doing bad at that point, kind of in the middle of the second period, the middle of the game, like the 12-minute mark to, like, the 7 or 6 minute mark, but you could see there was a little bit of a push by the Penguins there. And then when they got that big chance, and you saw it coming, you absolutely saw it coming when Fox was trying to get back, and then he makes a stop like that. That's ridiculous. And that's exact. I mean, it was one giant save. That's all they needed for, you know, from the Dallas D-Corps tonight. Otherwise, the Dallas D-Corps was solid.
Yeah, Dallas defense as a whole, transitioning into more of how the game played, Dallas defense was very solid tonight. Lots of blocks and only letting up 22 shots by the end of the game, where the other team was trailing for a majority of it.
Let's transition. I think this would be a good transition to move into the D-Corps overall tonight, James. The thing I'm really liking about this D-Corps, and I don't even know which person to start off with, because there were several good plays by almost all the defensemen tonight. Let's start with the big one defensively in my mind in Thomas Harley. Harley was absolutely ridiculous defensively tonight. And as much as we've talked about his offense, you know, coming along, that man, that defense tonight was ridiculous. There were several odd man rushes where he was back and made the perfect play in order for the Stars not to allow a giant scoring chance.
Yeah, I think that was easily Thomas Harley's best game. He was just back for every play, made the right play every single time. It was just a perfect defensive game from Thomas Harley. We have not seen that at all. I mean, normally you at least see one or two that he kind of misses a little, but it was not the case tonight. He was on all night long in the zone the entire time.
Harley trying to get me to talk about Harley, or Ardell trying to get me to talk about Harley first. Harley had five blocks and at least three key poke checks. Yeah. Harley, Rayan, Harley. My name's not Rayan, Ardell. It's Ryan. Get it right. And you're absolutely right, Ardell. He was probably the Stars' best defenseman tonight.
I wouldn't even say probably. I mean, he was, in my mind, far and away the best defenseman tonight.
Okay, other defensemen. I mean, you could go. Let's just go down the line, because I thought they were all of them were pretty good tonight. Miro Heiskanen with jumping up in the rush, and again, you know, crazy good defensive plays, especially on that 3-on-1.
Yeah,
that again could have been it could have been a giant turning point in the game. It was just another night for Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah, and that was the one real mistake that you could say Harley kind of made throughout the night, where he's not back for that one. But there were just, like, we can talk about this one from Heiskanen, because this is the big one that he did all night. Thomas Harley had about 5 or 6 of those throughout the night, where it was him back with one other person, maybe two other persons, and he's just making the right play, and with his stick more than his body, which normally he does it with his body. He hits a player to get him out of position, but he was just, his stick was Miro's stick tonight. Like, they changed sticks or something. I don't know what happens.
he's using a Bauer stick instead. I don't know.
Had to have. I don't know.
Moving on to the second pairing, the Lindell Tanev pairing has gotten better. And the thing about it that I love the most, they weren't super noticeable. So that means they did their job tonight. I mean, let's be totally honest.
Yeah.
They
both played over 20 minutes, and we're saying that, by the way. So if it's a bottom pairing, you say that, okay, whatever. They played, 16 minutes? They both played over 20 minutes and were not noticeable.
Now, the only thing I will say, and it happened twice for me that I noticed about Tanev, he's not very good off the rush.
No, he's not.
He is not very good off the rush, but that's not why we have him. I'm sure he will probably learn along the way, and we'll see. He doesn't have to be that guy, which is nice. And he's done his job. And I know that we've given him a little bit of crap throughout, you know, his tenure as a Dallas Star, but he has gotten a lot better, and he has really started to look way more comfortable as, you know, Lindell's right-hand man, literally.
Yeah, it's slowly gotten up to speed, and that's not the one that I'm really worried about. The one that I'm worried about is our bottom pairing, but that it's kind of expected from Tanev to kind of settle into this spot pretty easily.
This is exactly why we got him. We didn't expect him to be a top two, maybe a top two if he would play with Hart, with Miro, but it looks like that Pete DeBoer has kind of relied on that Harley Haskinen pairing, and he's going to stick in that number four spot. And moving on, you mentioned him. The bottom pairing, they were good again tonight. I thought Suter got a little bit of crap from Stars Media on the second goal, but you know what? He had a couple of good plays, in my opinion. There was even one. He was there for the rebound chance. I don't remember. I think it was in the first period. And it was just, you know, good positioning. He was in the right spot at the right time where he needed to be. And then as for Lundqvist was, like, the last game was more on the offensive side of the puck. By the way, it's good to see him back on the ice. He had a couple stitches and a nasty bruise. But seriously, after the game he had on Wednesday, this was much more of a better defensive game, in my opinion, for Nils Lundqvist. So he's kind of shown both sides of the puck for me, at least. James, you seem to have a little bit of trepidation when it comes to that.
I don't really agree with that tonight. I don't think Lundqvist looked great tonight. Really, we need him to be playing that great offensive style for him to be in the lineup. Given the other option, it is not worth it to keep him in the lineup if he is not putting up points. And that's really where I have the problem. He makes many defensive miscues to not put up points.
Okay, so Ricky trying to get me educated here. I didn't necessarily see that, so I can't comment on that. But
it was as much Lundqvist's fault on that second goal as Suter's. Suter chased into the corner, and Lundqvist went there too. I mean, again, that's two defensemen in the corner, and really, what that comes down to me is the forward's got to go to the front of the net because both of your defensemen are behind the net. So yes, the turnover was off of Lundqvist, but you're going to lose board battles and you got to get someone to cover in front of the net.
Okay. And here's the nice thing about that goal. We'll transition from this a little bit. The Stars didn't back off and they kept their foot on the gas. They might not have put their foot all the way down on the gas, but they kept playing the offensive zone, and it allowed Sam Steele to get that fourth goal, which allowed you to have a mistake like this there in the middle of the third period. So you still had, I don't want to say a super comfortable lead, but you gave yourself some insurance to allow a mistake like that. And that Sam Steele goal was exactly that. So the thing that we haven't seen lately is that the Stars have been making these mistakes without having any kind of insurance or retribution in favor of those mistakes. And now we're seeing Otter make big plays and allowing the first goal, which might be a bad goal. Steele makes up for the mistake that the third pairing makes, which, I mean, they're the third pairing. Every once in a while, they're going to make a mistake like that.
Yeah, that fourth goal from Steele really felt like the dagger. And it really kind of sucked the life out of what Pittsburgh was trying to do early. Just getting free and breaking free by himself and then just sniping it. I mean, that was the first goal that just clean beat Jari, honestly. His own defensemen were all over him tonight and caused multiple goals against. But that was the first one that went in clean, and that kind of sunk Pittsburgh's ship for sure.
Now, the one thing I will say is I definitely think the Stars got more puck luck in the game than the Penguins did. The Penguins had a little bit of puck luck, but the Stars, I think, had a lot. Fair, not fair?
The Stars did have a lot of puck luck. I mean, lots of times it was just bouncing off of defensemen in the offensive zone, and it just ended up in the slot constantly. I mean, you could throw anything that way, and it half the time it would end up on a Stars stick. So a lot of puck luck tonight. It's honestly surprising that they didn't score more than they did, and they still scored 4.
All right, moving on to the top line tonight. The top line was very good, and somebody actually put a question to me on X is like, which one's the top line? And that might be a good question, to be totally honest with you. Maybe even the fourth line is the top line. They've been scoring a whole bunch. But specifically Hintz. Hintz is just absolutely snake bit in this game today. He probably had about 5 or 6, you know, high danger scoring chances in the game, including the empty net goal, which he's just not allowed to score tonight, I guess.
Yeah, that first line really was great. Hintz had a ton of chances tonight as well. He missed 2 wide open nets on the night. There was one that it was just a hard angle, and then there was a second one that the defenseman just got enough of it to knock it out of the way. But that is 2 yawning cages that Hintz will often put in the back of the net. And that's regardless of other rush chances and shots that he tried to break through anyway.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Here's some odds for you for the Rocket Richard Trophy, which is the regular season top goal scorer. Obviously, right now, Austin Matthews leads the way. He's got a -330 in the odds. But you can also take a look at Sam Reinhart of the Florida Panthers with a +650, David Pastrnak of the Boston Bruins with a +1,000, or maybe you can even go for Nikita Kucherov at a +2,500. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
We'll talk about the big offensive guy here in just a second, but let's talk about the fourth line tonight. So that's now 7 games out of the last 9 where they have contributed to the offense for the Dallas Stars. So between those 3 guys, of Sam Steele, Craig Smith, and Roddick Foxa, they have been absolutely excellent. I don't know the defensive numbers, but there is nothing that I've seen as an eye test wise that leads me to believe that because they're scoring more goals, their defense has kind of taken a back seat. So, I mean, what do you think about the fourth line's play, and especially the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think the reason why we can't really say that much about the defense is because most of the time they're spending their shifts in the offensive zone, which is kind of exactly what you want from your fourth line. Even if they don't get goals, which we normally expect, there's not been recent. But when you want them to spend time in the zone, that can shift momentum the other way. Scoring is just a bonus, honestly. And both Smith has gotten pretty lucky on his last couple of games, but the seal goal is something that really was just a dagger, and in the end it feels like it was kind of needed because they did end up getting that second goal, or Pittsburgh did end up getting the second goal.
What did you think about Jamie Benn? Obviously, the big man of the match when it comes to offense. I really was hoping that he was going to get that third because he hadn't had that.
I thought that's why all the empty netters kept getting called back because he was the one who was supposed to score it. But it didn't end up happening.
I was slightly thinking that in the back of my head. It's like they're purposely missing or hitting the post so that they don't score.
Yeah.
And you know, Jamie Benn can get out there and do that.
Yeah. But Benn with the two goals on the night gets quite a bit of help from Pittsburgh's defenseman, screens their goaltender and nudges him a little bit on the first one. And then kind of unluckily knocks it in on the second one that Benn gets. But seeing Benn scoring and it's his confidence in puck movement too. I mean, he's looked very comfortable on the line with Johnston and Stanko.
We've kind of talked a little bit about everybody this evening. James, what do you think about this team's ability to maybe go into a big game? I'm not talking about the one against the Coyotes on Sunday. I'm talking we'll talk about that in a second. I was getting there. Don't beat me to it. We don't have another big game until the game against the Canucks, which, Connor, we see you over there in the chat, on Thursday on the 28th. So that's the game that we're probably circling right now. No offense to the Coyotes and the Sharks, but we're obviously looking towards the playoffs. Can you take some stuff away from the last two games and say that the Stars are getting their act together? Or is it just because they're just naturally have more skill than other teams they've played against in the last two games, and they're just taking care of business that way? Which way are you leaning? Or are you kind of in the middle?
I'm leaning more towards they're getting their act together, because we saw against the Sharks, this team struggle immensely defensively, especially on being able to win these games pretty handily. And the last two have been pretty handily. I mean, we give up the first goal on both. Both are kind of like, they went in, and then both times score five unanswered in the Coyotes game and four unanswered in this game. It's just score a bunch quickly and ride the rest of the game out on it. And that's kind of been how it ends up happening. Not that that's necessarily what you want to do, but by the time we're done scoring, it's like 10 minutes left in the third period. So you can do that when you have a 3-goal lead with 10 minutes left. And that's just kind of how it's buffed out. I think a big part of both of those, though, is Sagan getting back and that second line looking like a threat the entire time. I mean, they play all their time in the offensive zone again since Sagan coming back. And that changes, that gives... Really, what it does is it just limits chances on your own net. And really, that was a defensive liability over since when Sagan went out. I mean, they had a tough time staying in the offensive zone. And since his return, it has just been nonstop chances for that line.
Some of the inefficiencies, some of the weaknesses that we had seen in the Stars the last couple of weeks, especially with, I don't want to say that second line was weak, they just weren't getting anything done. The last two games, that second line has looked ridiculous, has looked very, very dangerous. Ottinger, the last two games has seemed, especially today, it's a one game kind of look, but he made that giant save and he hasn't inserted himself into a game like this in quite a while. He was good for the Stars and was a factor in the game tonight. In the last game against the Coyotes, he was not a factor in the game. It's just the team around him played really well. Now he's making himself a factor, and that's another weakness that seemed to be perceived by a lot of Stars fans the last couple of weeks. And then even the third pairing, you could say, is a little bit of a weakness. Now, Lundqvist, he looks like he's might be getting a hold of this number six spot, especially with Håkanpää. Looks like he's going to be out for a while. It doesn't look like he's going to be coming back into the lineup. So that spot's his. I mean, like, unless he's like absolute garbage trash and they have to go and call up Poyot or whoever else, maybe Bischel, once Bischel is done in the Swiss League with his team in the playoffs, then it's his spot. It is absolutely 100% his spot. So all of those weaknesses seem to be getting plugged, and it's nice to see that this might be a thing moving forward, even if it is against inferior opponents.
Yeah. And I, for Lundqvist specifically, I really think he needs to get back to what he did last game, which is push up the ice with the puck and get some good feeds to players. I mean, he looked spectacular when he was passing the puck around, making plays. Tonight, he didn't really see him play with the puck that much, and that's where he looks weak. He looks extremely weak when he's not playing with the puck. Skating with the puck looks great, but other than that, there are obvious, like, just deficiencies in his game.
And the other thing about it is he's got a guy in Ryan Suter who is very good at playing stay-at-home defenseman. He is very good at playing stay-at-home defenseman and should stay at home.
Yeah.
So he just needs to take advantage of that.
I think the bigger thing about that is just with how long Suter's been in the league, him being a vet, Lundqvist can learn a lot from that, and especially how Suter used to be kind of how Lundqvist is, where he tries to just skate and make opportunities, be a goal scorer. And Suter has had to learn how to play back more. And he has very, very well this season, I feel. It's just something that Lundqvist is going to have to get in his head. It's really, a lot of it is the positioning for me with him. It feels like he's not in the right spot a lot of the time. But that is, luckily, that's something that can be learned and is not a huge problem in terms of the speed of the game. Like, Lundqvist is there in terms of speed of the game. He can skate fast. He sees plays happening fast. He knows where to put the puck in what position. It is truly, he's just most often not in the right spot.
All right, moving on from this game, and then we'll do our biggest winner, biggest loser towards the end here. But James Motto, yeah, can we please talk about that? The softest baby poo people that got upset about the roadkill post, laugh out loud, including Bardown. Bardown got upset about that.
Yeah.
That's really surprising. Here's my thing about it. Like, okay, Stars admin, I know who this, I don't know this person personally, but I know who this person is, who Stars admin is. And there's probably a lot of people that know who this person is. It was a fine post. And see, this person understands it as well as we understand it. When you're in Texas, you see a lot of roadkill on the side of the road. And you know what? Especially out here in the middle of nowhere, West Texas, where everyone goes 95 miles an hour, there are a lot of dead animals, including coyotes, on the side of the road. So yeah. I honestly thought it was stupid. I didn't get all the vitriol and hatred that Stars admin was getting. I'm just... brush it off your shoulders, whatever, move on.
I really do feel like a lot of that is location-based. I mean, you think of a lot of hockey teams, they are over on the East Coast where there's not that many wild animals wandering around on the roads. Like Ryan said, there is roadkill everywhere you go here. Whether that's a good thing or not can be debated, but it is everywhere. I mean, constantly. You cannot drive to the next town over without seeing a dead skunk, possum, whatever you want on the side of the road. It's there. I can see why some people would be sensitive to it, but it's still kind of funny.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was fine. I was just like, whatever. It's just like, let it go. Whatever. But anyways, moving on from that, even who's your biggest winner and biggest leader tonight, James? Who you got?
My biggest winner pretty easily is Thomas Harley. I thought he had an absolutely fantastic game, easily the best game I've seen from him, especially defensively. He doesn't get a goal in this one. We've seen him finish overtime games for us before, but I still think this was his most complete game he's ever played. Just back for everything, hustling back, breaking up, everything it felt like. And without taking a penalty, too. I mean, he's sticks just in the right spot, not hooking, not slashing, just always making the right play. That was spectacular from him tonight.
You have the right answer, but for the game. But I think for the season, especially in terms of needing to have a good game, Jake Ottinger is the biggest winner tonight. He has to be the Stars' best player going into the postseason. He has to be. And this game especially, that one save was an absolute step in the right direction. And what I'm hoping to see is this redemption arc as this continues for the final 11 games of the regular season. And then he's ready to, you know, go all out in the playoffs and nothing's going to get behind him. I hope this is the step in the right direction for him.
That's all Stars fans' dreams, is that Otter just figures it out.
Which he seems to do. He does seem to do. This has been an off year for him. And not everybody is going to have an on season every single season. I mean, go ahead.
It's also been a year where the Stars have been the better team going into every single matchup. I mean, that is not something that you could really say last year. Last season, you could see these were games where the Stars are probably the underdog, like every single time. You go into that, you could pick out maybe 5 or 10 last year where that was happening. And Otter would come up big in those games all the time, every single time. And that's just not something that you really see this year. And maybe that's a difference for him having to play being the better team.
It's a good point. He hasn't had to be as good as he's, you know, especially probably his first, even before his first full season.
He has a sub 900 and the Stars are tied for first in the Central.
Go figure. Absolutely go figure. Okay, speaking of which, that run to the finish line for those three teams is going to be ridiculous. And I really honestly don't think we're going to know who's going to be the first seed until the very last day of the season.
We got to do Biggest Loser, right?
Yeah, I know. Sorry, side tangent.
We're getting there.
Biggest Loser?
It's the Penguins defenseman. I think they scored 3 goals for us tonight. The first one that Pettersson punched into the net, that was great. Pavelski gets some great luck. And then the second one, Ben gets the goal off of Pettersson screening his own goaltender and bumping him a little bit. Now, granted, that goal probably still could have gone in because it was literally posting in. Like, that was a spectacular shot from Ben. And then the third one is Ben's second, where the dude's trying to stop the pass cross, but accidentally knocks it in between Jari's legs and in. I mean, terrible night from Penguins defenseman. Got to be tough to be Jari in that situation.
I got a bone to pick with my Biggest Loser. My Biggest Loser is Michael Bunting. How are you allowed to punch Ryan Suter in the face, a guy who's been in the NHL longer than you've probably been alive for a majority of players, and you just allowed to get away with that? I mean, like, come on, man. Like, just take the L, walk off, and, tuck your tail between your legs, okay? And go away. I understand you're a big, nasty fighter, mean man, but go away and don't punch Ryan Suter in the face. Like,
let's just say he was traded away from a playoff team to a non-playoff team for a reason.
Oh, yeah, that actually happened, didn't it?
Yep, he was on Carolina. Just saying. Yeah,
he's gonna be mad.
Doesn't surprise me that he's in Pittsburgh right now.
All right, let's talk about the standings here real quick. So when you take a look at the standings in the Central Division, and I mentioned this earlier today on the podcast X feed, but I would argue that the Central Division, along with the Atlantic, are the two best divisions in hockey. And I would say the Central is probably even the best division in hockey based off of what we've seen even the Nashville Predators do in the last 16 games. I think they're 14-0-2. The Preds are going on a ridiculous tear right now. So taking a look at the standings in the NHL right now, when you look at the Central, Dallas has got 95 points. They're first in the Central Division right now. And the Jets and the Avalanche are only 2 points behind the Stars.
The Avalanche, however, are very shortly about to be 95 as well, by the way.
Okay, I figure, because they're playing the Blue Jackets tonight.
They're 6-1 with a minute left.
Oh, yeah, there's not a chance. Okay, so the Stars will be second in the division here in, like, 2 minutes, literally. And so it would read 95 Avs in first because of the game in hand that they have over the Stars. The Stars with 95 and then the Jets with 93. So, and there's still quite a big gap between those three teams and the Preds, despite the Preds' giant surge. And the Predators
are seven points.
Yeah. The Predators are in no danger of falling out of the playoffs. So that's four teams from the Central fully entrenched in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Predators are the first wild card team right now. Like, you can call that now to the end of the season. That will not change unless the Predators lose every single game that they have left.
And if I'm looking at it correctly, yeah, I don't know if the Golden Knights are going to fall out of that second wild card spot.
Probably not. Likely not.
Likely not, but there still is a possibility they do. It's just not very likely. Wouldn't that be the most amazing thing in the world for them?
The craziest thing would be Vegas getting into the third spot in the division and then the Kings falling out because the Kings are in the third spot right now, but only by two points. So it is, the Pacific is very awkward right now, to say the least. Yes,
I absolutely agree. Okay. Anything else, James?
Hopefully Roope scores more goals when he has wide open nets.
He's going to get one here eventually. He absolutely
will. I thought he was going to get one before the end of the game. He just couldn't do it.
Oh yeah, by the way, seriously, like what's with the Stars not being able to score an empty net goal?
That was hilarious.
It was like four or five
last 2 minutes were just a complete clown fest.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. Stars get the 2 points. They keep pace with the other two teams at the top of their division. We'll see how this goes moving forward. It's going to be a very interesting race to the top of the Central Division for the remaining, less than month of a season remaining. So thank you for those of you that have been listening live. We've had up to 31 this evening. Thank y'all. There's even more of you listening afterwards. We also appreciate y'all. Go and use that promo code THPN the next time you go and use DraftKings Sportsbook. Thanks to them for being our sponsor. SarcasticRemarks.com is the website. SarcasticRemarksShop.com is the merch store. It's the best way to support what we do. Follow us on social media. And as always, if you liked anything you heard this evening, please consider leaving a 5-star review anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Along with James, my name is Ryan. We will catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic afternoon, morning, evening, whenever it may be. James, take us out.
GG, boys.